The content of this program is prepared for intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jackie Marino for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Nutrition News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Fighting for clearer food labels. A note from Peter G. Lorre, President, Center for Science in the Public Interest, which publishes Nutrition News. Consumers have a right to know what's in their foods and beverages. That's why the Center for Science in the Public Interest, Nutrition Action's publisher, has long fought for labels that tell the whole story. Here's the latest on our recent successes and our fight against an industry ploy to thwart a new rule that protects the public's health. Alcohol. You can check any food label for calories as well as allergens and other ingredients, but when it comes to beer, wine, and distilled spirits, you're often in the dark. Back in 2003, CSPI and other health advocates petitioned the Treasury Department to require labels to disclose alcohol content, calories, and ingredients, including allergens. Nearly 20 years later, those labels still weren't required. So last October, CSPI, the Consumer Federation of America, and the National Consumers League sued the department for failing to act. That did the trick. In November, Treasury agreed to propose rules for mandatory labels. We'll work to make those labels as useful as possible. Front of pack labels. In the 1980s, CSPI led the fight for mandatory nutrition facts labels. Now we're tackling the fronts of packages, which often display only rosy claims like high protein or high in vitamin C. Canada, Chile, Israel, and other countries already, or will soon, require the fronts of packages to alert consumers when a food is high in saturated fat, sodium, or sugar. In August, CSPI and other advocates petitioned the Food and Drug Administration to require similar front of pack labels, and in September, the White House asked the FDA to develop a front of packing label system. Sesame. Many people who are allergic to foods live in fear that they'll accidentally ingest some. Even a trace amount can be life-threatening if it triggers swelling that blocks airways. So in 2021, CSPI successfully fought to pass a law that added sesame to the list of common allergens like peanuts, wheat, and milk, which must be disclosed on labels, with a phrase like, contains sesame. Starting this January, manufacturers were required to disclose sesame on labels and take steps to prevent sesame from accidentally contaminating other foods. In response, companies like Dave's Killer Bread, Olive Garden, Culver's, and Chick-fil-A, or their suppliers, started purposely adding sesame to foods and then disclosing it on the labels. That let them avoid taking steps to prevent accidental contamination. Sadly, that leaves people who have sesame allergies with fewer foods that are safe to eat. And longtime customers with allergies may not notice that sesame has been added, putting them at risk of a dangerous reaction. In late January, CSPI urged the FDA to declare the practice illegal under rules that require manufacturers to reduce food safety risks to their customers. We'll keep you posted. Quick studies. A snapshot of the latest research on diet, exercise, and more. How to trim liver fat. 2 out of 3 adults with obesity have excess liver fat, a risk factor for type 2 diabetes. Many don't know it. Researchers told 13 people with overweight or obesity to eat foods that were either high in saturated fat, like whole milk, cheese, and sausage, and in unhealthy carbs that can cause high blood sugar, like white bread, juice, and potatoes, or low in saturated fat, like low-fat milk, hummus, and chicken, and in healthier carbs that can cause high blood sugar, like oats, pasta, and whole grain bread. Liver fat levels were 28% lower after 2 weeks on the low foods than after 2 weeks on the high foods. Unilever, which sells a variety of foods, partly funded the study and employed 2 of its authors at the time. What to do? Switch to unsaturated fats and healthy carbs like whole grains, fruit, and beans. Though this study was small, its results agree with earlier research. Exercise and diabetes. Exercise can curb your risk of type 2 diabetes over the long run. Roughly 10 years ago, Scientists randomly assigned 220 people with excess liver fat and a large waist to do vigorous exercise, jogging on a treadmill for 30 minutes under supervision 5 times a week for 6 months, and moderate exercise for 6 more months. Moderate exercise, walking briskly for 30 minutes 5 days a week for 12 months, or their usual exercise. 10 years after the trial ended, roughly half as many people in both exercise groups had been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes than in the usual exercise group. What to do? Keep moving. Even brisk walking can curb your risk of type 2 diabetes if, like many of the study participants, you stick with it. Bonus, moderate exercise also trimmed liver fat in the initial 1-year study. Frailty and plant foods. Older women who ate a healthy plant-based diet, fruits, vegetables, beans, nuts, whole grains, etc., had a lower risk of frailty over 14 years, while those who ate an unhealthy plant-based diet, refined grains, sweets, juices, etc., or a diet with more animal foods, had a higher risk. Frailty means symptoms like fatigue, weakness, and weight loss. What to do? This kind of study can't prove that healthy plant foods cut the risk of frailty, but don't assume that you need to eat meat to stay strong. Be wary of drug ads. Roughly 2/3 of the 150 top-selling prescription drugs sold in 2020 had low added clinical benefit compared to existing drugs. Those ratings come from France or Canada. The U.S. doesn't rate drug benefits. Among the drugs with low added benefit, Gammagard Liquid, Yervoy, Ebrance, Odefsi, Entyvio, Genvoya, and Mavyret. Among the drugs with high added benefit, Ocrevus, Optivo, Keytruda, Neulasta, and Hemlibra. Companies spent a bigger fraction of their 2020 ad dollars on direct-to-consumer ads for the drugs with low added benefit than for the drugs with high added benefit. What to do? Seen an impressive drug ad on TV? Don't assume that it's your best option. Now a healthy recipe from the healthy cook, Kate Sherwood. Spring shrooms. What better way to enjoy spring than to toss crunchy celery and peppery parsley with umami-rich sautéed mushrooms? I love using a mix of cremini and shiitake caps in this salad, but even white button mushrooms will deliver flavor to spare. Crunchy mushroom salad. 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 1 clove garlic halved lengthwise, 1 pound mushrooms, any kind, quartered, 1 tablespoon fresh lemon juice, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 4 stalks celery, very thinly sliced, 1/4 cup flat leaf parsley leaves, chopped, freshly ground black pepper to taste, and 2 tablespoons chopped toasted walnuts. In a large pan over medium-high heat, heat the oil and sauté the garlic until lightly browned, 2 to 3 minutes. Remove and reserve the garlic. Sauté the mushrooms until browned in spots, 3 to 5 minutes. Remove from the pan and spread out on a rimmed baking sheet to cool slightly. Mince the garlic. In a large bowl, whisk together the garlic, lemon juice, and salt. Toss with the celery, parsley, mushrooms, warm or at room temperature, and a few grinds of black pepper. Taste and add more pepper as needed. Transfer to a serving dish and sprinkle with the walnuts. Serves 4. Food find. Fabulous fennel. Unfamiliar with fennel? Here are 4 ways to break the ice. Raw. Trim off the stalks, cut the white bulb in half from top to bottom, and remove the core with a V-shaped cut at the bottom of each half. Now you're ready to slice it thinly. A mandolin comes in handy here. Say hello to a new flavor and texture to toss into slaws and salads. Sautéed. Sauté sliced fennel with other spring standouts like asparagus, edamame, and leeks. Roasted. Raw fennel is crunchy with a mild anise or licorice flavor. But fennel roasted at high heat, say 425 degrees Fahrenheit, turns into something else entirely. Softer, a little nutty tasting, a bit sweet. Fronds. A veggie bonus. If your fennel bulb comes with its dark green feathery fronds still attached. Chop and use them like soft, fresh herbs. Save the tough stalks for making veggie stock. Flavor aside, fennel offers a nice dose of fiber, potassium, and vitamin C and K, all for next to no calories, 25 per cup. Fennel is a member of the carrot family. Time to welcome it to yours. Dish of the month, fennel and radish salad. Whisk together 1 tablespoon extra virgin olive oil, 1 tablespoon white balsamic vinegar, 1/2 teaspoon whole grain mustard, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. Toss with 6 cups salad greens, 1 cup thinly sliced fennel, and 1/4 cup sliced radishes. Serves 4. Food fail. Cake and candy kits. Make an extraordinary breakfast everyone will enjoy, says Mrs. Butterworth's website. Her latest creation? 4 epic pancake kits. They turn ho-hum pancake mix into a cake candy cookie-like cornucopia. You've got your double chocolate, chocolate fudge and rainbow sprinkles, Cinnabon bakery inspired with cream cheese flavored icing and cinnamon and brown sugar swirl, s'mores with chocolate fudge and marshmallow frosting, or fruity pebbles, white frosting and cereal for the, wait, confetti-studded pancakes. Sure, the Fruity Pebbles kit is peppered with Red 3, a carcinogen, and other suspect additives like Red 40, Blue 1, Yellow 5, Yellow 6, and titanium dioxide, but how else do you get fruity colors? Bonus, all 4 kits replace syrup with frosting or fudge. That is sugar plus palm oil. Want syrup? Try Mrs. B's Fruity Pebbles flavored syrup. Mostly corn syrup with an extra dose of Red 40. Each serving of the Fruity Pebbles kit is just 1.5 small pancakes with toppings. So why does the box show a stack of 5? That's 200 calories, 2 grams of saturated fat, and 4 teaspoons of added sugar. About what you'd get in 4 dye-free Oreos. That's one extraordinary breakfast. Carbon claims. Is that food really carbon neutral? By Caitlin Dow. The world has to cut carbon dioxide emissions in half by 2030 to avoid the worst effects of climate change, says the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And by 2050, we need to hit net zero. That is, emissions must be matched by removals from the atmosphere. Sounds like a marketing opportunity if we ever heard one. Are companies' claims that they're slashing their food's carbon footprint legit? Reducing emissions. To get to net zero, we collectively have to cut our emissions as close to zero as possible, says Freya Che, program manager at Carbon Plan, a nonprofit that evaluates climate programs. Food companies can cut their emissions in any number of ways. Energy. They could find more energy-efficient methods to make their foods, opt for renewable energy to power their operations, or use electric vehicles to transport their goods. Ingredients. They could buy ingredients from farms that reduce emissions or grow crops that soak up carbon like a sponge. They could cut food waste. And packaging. They could move away from plastic made from crude oil or natural gas or use only recycled materials in their packaging. But many companies take an easier route to balance their carbon books. They buy carbon offsets. Carbon Offsets 101. Carbon offset credits are used to fund projects that either prevent carbon emissions by, say, investing in solar or wind farms or electric transportation, or by paying landowners not to cut down trees, or remove carbon from the atmosphere by, for example, planting trees, investing in farming practices that store carbon, or capturing carbon from the air and pumping it underground, though this technology doesn't currently exist at a scale large enough to have much impact. Each credit a company buys equal 1 metric ton of carbon dioxide equivalents, either not emitted or removed from the atmosphere. The CO2 equivalents adjust for the potency of each greenhouse gas. In order to keep temperatures from soaring, we need to both lower emissions and remove carbon. Why? CO2 has an incredibly long lifetime in the atmosphere, says Che. Every metric ton of CO2 we emit contributes to warming for thousands of years. To counteract any remaining emissions, we have to remove CO2 from the atmosphere and store it. The National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine estimates that we need to remove an additional 10 billion tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. But less than 5% of offsets fund projects to remove carbon. Deploying renewables like solar is important for curbing future emissions, says Che, but it doesn't undo the impact of ongoing emissions on temperatures. Offset pitfalls. Other problems with the market for carbon offset credits? No regulation. The voluntary market is totally unregulated, says Che. In contrast, the government sets rules which it requires companies to buy offsets. Carbon offset projects in the voluntary market are often verified, in quotes, through registries like Verra, Gold Standard, and Carbon Action Reserve. But verification is no guarantee. When researchers looked at a large sample of rainforest offset credits that had been verified by Verra, the world's largest registry, they estimated that more than 90% showed no evidence of having reduced deforestation. Verra disputes those claims. That was the latest compelling evidence that a stamp of approval from Verra does not equal quality, says Che. Similar issues likely exist with other registries, she notes. No transparency. Trying to figure out exactly which projects a company is supporting through its purchase of carbon credits? Good luck. You might find the name of a project, says Che, but if they don't give you the project ID, which is assigned by the registry, you can't easily find the documentation or the rules under which the project sold credits. Business as usual? If a company is making climate claims based on carbon credits that represent business as usual, that's worthless, says Che. For example, what if carbon credits pay a landowner not to chop down trees that he or she never planned to cut? It doesn't represent an actual difference to the atmosphere, says Che. On the other hand, what if that landowner planned to burn down the trees to raise cattle? The burn would release stored carbon, the trees would no longer remove carbon from the atmosphere, and the cows would emit methane. If offsets pay the landowner to keep the trees, that's a win for the atmosphere and nearby waterways, wildlife, and habitat. Carbon accounting. Let's say a company needs to buy 1,000 credits to offset its emissions. Is the company buying offsets that have the most impact? Renewable energy or transportation-based credits cost about a dollar or two per metric ton, while forest management projects cost $8 to $10 per ton, and credits that remove carbon and permanently store it may cost hundreds of dollars per ton. But in the world of carbon accounting, each credit is equal, no matter how much or how little it slows climate change. So if all a company is trying to do is buy a certain number of credits so it can make a carbon-neutral claim, there's a disincentive to buy more expensive credits that fund quality projects, Che explains. But the game changes, she adds, if a company cares more about the environment than it does about slapping a carbon-neutral label on its foods. If the company says, I have a bucket of money, how can I best spend it to support carbon renewal, forest health, conservation, and other good things? Then I'm quite impressed. What to look for? It's not easy to tell if a company is making honest carbon claims, but here are a few tips from Che. A company's first priority should be its own operations. Is it taking real action to reduce its own emissions? The order should always be reduce emissions first, then consider offsets. Next is transparency about offsets. Is the company telling you clearly where that money is going? Can you actually tell what projects its credits support? Finally, be wary of carbon-neutral claims from foods like beef and dairy, which emit more carbon when they're produced. You're better off focusing on healthy plant foods. Cool Foods plus Panera. The Cool Food Pledge is a commitment that companies, restaurants, cities, universities, and other organizations can make to reduce the climate impact of the food that they serve in their food dining settings, explains Stacy Blondin, a behavioral science associate at the World Resources Institute, a nonprofit that works to put the planet on a more sustainable path. The goal? To reduce greenhouse gas emissions from food by 25% by 2030, in line with the Paris Climate Agreement. As of 2022, 50 members serving 3.5 billion meals per year had taken the Cool Food Pledge. Members include IKEA, Harvard University, and UCLA Health. Then came Cool Food Meals, a label that restaurants can use on their menu options, says Blondin. The meals qualify by meeting greenhouse gas emissions and basic nutrition standards. So far, the only U.S. restaurant chain that has implemented Cool Food Meals is Panera Bread. The carbon standards are based on a daily carbon budget, split across three meals plus snacks. Breakfast and snacks are each allotted 20%, up to 8.4 pounds of carbon dioxide equivalents. Lunch and dinner each get 30%, up to 12.6 pounds. The nutrition standard scores meals on unfavorable attributes like calories, saturated fat, sodium, and sugar, and favorable attributes like fiber, protein, fruits, vegetables, legumes, nuts, and vegetable oils. It's meant as a minimum threshold, only intended to weed out foods with no redeeming nutritional value, notes Blondin. That explains how Panera's Cool Food menu includes dishes like the Green Goddess Caprese Melt, creamy tomato soup, and broccoli cheddar mac and cheese that are high in sodium and saturated fat. Still, it's possible to find some healthy options among the chain's nearly 40 cool food breakfasts, grain bowls, salads, sandwiches, and soups. That includes a mix of flexitarian dishes like the Mediterranean veggie sandwich, Fuji apple chicken salad, and teriyaki chicken and broccoli bowl. What doesn't get cool food certified? Meals with red meats, like the toasted steak and white cheddar sandwich, which is responsible for a whopping 72 pounds of carbon dioxide emissions. Bottom line, cool food meals aren't necessarily a slam dunk for health, but they do help curb climate change. Chipotle. Our real food print is the first sustainability tool of its kind, says Chipotle. The tool estimates the impact of Chipotle's ingredients on water use, on farm carbon dioxide emissions, antibiotic use, soil health, and land use to grow food organically. But the Real Food Print tool only compares the ingredients in your order to industry averages for those ingredients, a fairly low bar to clear. It doesn't show how swapping ingredients, like ordering chicken instead of beef, could cause less damage to the planet. For example, if you build your burrito bowl with steak, Real Food Print says the protein in your order emits roughly 182 fewer grams of carbon into the atmosphere and avoids 149 milligrams of antibiotics compared to the industry average for steak. Going with sofritas, or tofu, only reduces the amount of carbon by 2 grams and doesn't avoid any antibiotics. In reality, producing tofu emits far less carbon than producing beef, and it requires no antibiotics. So tofu is a much better choice for the planet. But to Chipotle customers who look at the Real Food Print, steak looks better. Bottom line, the Real Food Print tool may bolster Chipotle's image, but it doesn't help you fight climate change. Sweetgreen. We're taking action every day to be carbon neutral by 2027, says Sweetgreen's website. The fast, casual company's plan of attack, reducing our carbon by 50% and meaningfully offsetting where reduction isn't yet possible. Sweetgreen already has a leg up on the competition. Our plant-rich food mix means that we're already 30% less carbon intensive than the average American diet, says the company. It certainly doesn't hurt that the chain is veggie-rich and boasts no red meat. And the menu now tells you the carbon impact of each meal. For example, the Super Green Goddess salad emits only 0.9 pounds of carbon dioxide equivalents, while the Kale Caesar emits 2.6 pounds. You can't compare those carbon estimates to, say, Panera's, because carbon calculation methods vary from company to company. But it's unclear how much Sweetgreen's carbon offsets will protect the planet. The website doesn't describe the projects, and when we asked for more information, we got none. Bottom line, we can't say how beneficial Sweetgreen's carbon offsets are, but its plant-rich menu is certainly climate-friendly, not to mention healthy and delicious. Not many restaurants can say that. Evol Frozen Entrees. Now carbon neutral, proclaims the Evol Fire Grilled Steak Box. Really? Steak? Seven other Evol frozen meals also carry a, quote, carbon neutral label, though none are made with beef, the champion of greenhouse gas emitting foods. Evol has partnered with CarbonFund.org to find the best ways to offset our certified carbon neutral products impact, says the company's website. Translation? Evol is purchasing carbon offset credits. Through Carbon Fund, Evol supports forest conservation and renewable wind energy products, though it's not clear which ones. The company didn't respond to our request for more information. What we do know? If Evol is buying credits in a project like the Texas Capricorn Ridge Wind Project, which is listed on Carbon Fund's website, it may not be making much of a difference. Texas is just about the best and most economical place in the world to build a wind farm, says Carbon Plan's Freya Che. So it's very likely that the wind farm would have existed without selling carbon credits. If so, purchasing carbon credits from that project is taking credit for business as usual. Bottom line, are Evol's claims based on carbon offset purchases that really matter? Your guess is as good as ours. Neutral milk. We're the first carbon-neutral foods company in the United States, and we're on a mission to radically reduce the carbon footprint of agriculture for good, says dairy company Neutral. Our life cycle assessment tells us that 72% of our carbon footprint comes from on-farm emissions, explains Ann Radel, the head of carbon reduction at Neutral. So Neutral is helping small dairy farmers reduce greenhouse gas emissions, like methane, by changing their cow's feed, better managing manure, and lowering the carbon footprint of growing and producing the cow's food. But most of Neutral's neutrality comes from buying offsets, not on-farm programs. When we started in 2009, we used 100% carbon offsets just to launch our product, explains Radel. Last year, around 6% of the carbon footprint of our products were reduced from on-farm projects. The other 94% came from offsets. Neutral's current offsets invest is an anaerobic digesters for large dairy farms. The machines break down manure to produce a biogas, mostly methane, that can be burned for electricity, heat, or vehicle fuel. Bottom line, Neutral deserves kudos for helping reduce the carbon emissions of small dairy farms, but its claims are based on largely paying others to cut emissions. We've run out of time for today's episode of Nutrition News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jackie Marino, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Nutrition News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.